Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. Are you doing well? What a great day. What an awesome day. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready for a totally new kind of season from today onwards?
Yes.
Where's it going to come from? Comes from him, in us, and then through us, right? Is that right? God is doing something new in these days, and we want to just cooperate with him, work with him, and move with what he is doing. God has spoken to us about being one church in many locations, and we are going to be planting a congregation down in Worthing in October, which is exciting. PJD and myself met with all the Worthing Life Group on Tuesday night. We had a great evening, didn't we, guys? Those of you that are here, some might be coming to the 11:30, but great expectation and a great time of prayer and faith, great expectancy in all the guys that are down that way. Really looking forward to not just what's going to happen in October, what's going to be happening over the next 6 months as we pray, prepare, meet together, and eat together, begin to reach out into that town over the next 6 months so that something gets launched from this moment, not just from today, but over these last week or two, but something gets launched now. We might go public in October, but we want to see 30, 40 people getting saved over the next 6 months, getting added into the life of who we are in that town. Yes. Next year, we'll go somewhere else and plant another congregation in another town. Our response here in Horsham with what God is saying is, God said, give me space so I can fill it. And if we're going to move out in God's purposes, if we're going to move out more intentionally to fit in, to align ourselves with what God is saying, then we need to make adjustments and changes in our lives in response to what he says. But we also need to make adjustments and changes practically, organizationally, and everything to fit what God is saying, to give him space to fill. One of the reasons we're going to two services, 9:30 and 11:30 on Sunday, is because we want to give God space to fill. The rooms upstairs are getting pretty tight anyway to have the amount of children up there on a Sunday. So we needed some more space for that. But we want to create space. We want to develop people more in leadership. And we've put what we're calling a leadership pathway in place so that people can grow in leadership. And you'll see more people up here on a Sunday in terms of leading services and taking responsibility for Sundays around the place, because we want to help create some new opportunities for people to lead and to be taking responsibility for things as part of developing people in leadership. We're defining what it really means to be in leadership more in the church, not just in Horsham, but also in Crawley, and what it will mean then in Worthing and beyond. We're on mission. We are on mission. God's kingdom is advancing all over the world at this moment. People are getting saved right now. Miracles are happening right now. Relationships are being restored right now. People are being raised from the dead right now. So his kingdom is alive. We are part of that living kingdom right now on earth. And we're not going to get left behind. I know there's a series of books called that, but we're not going to get left behind with what God is doing. If his kingdom is advancing all over the place, then we want to be part of that kingdom. The Bible says that God's kingdom is advancing forcefully. It's advancing intentionally with power. It's going forward. But it says, his kingdom is advancing forcefully, but a forceful people lay hold of that kingdom. Forceful, not in our own effort and our own strength, but a people of faith, a people who are moving in the things of God, that we take hold of that advancing kingdom. God, we're with you. If you're going that way, we're going that way. Faith in the Bible is a verb. It's a doing word. It's very intentional. Faith is alive. It's living. And faith in the Bible is something that's very active. And so we are people of faith. So we take hold of what God says and say, right, we're going to respond to that before we see the fruit of it. And as we respond to it, we then see the fruit of it.
That's right. Come on.
Now, I believe God's kind of laid something on my heart for the two meetings this morning. And it's similar to something that I brought before. But I just believe, it's just funny, wherever I'm going at the moment during the week or other places and other churches to speak, God keeps giving me this to and I say, well, God, we kind of had that kind of message a few years ago. And God said, well, it's my word. It's relevant now than it was 3 years ago. And I believe this is really going to help trigger for us something in the life of the congregation here in Horsham. And I believe God wants to encourage us, not just challenge us and come on, rah, rah, there will be a challenge, but to really encourage us in how we're to move forward and how we're to step forward. So grab your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to use something to illustrate, unless somebody's put it away. Somebody's cleared up very, very well, but they didn't realise I was going to use something. Yeah, there's a stepladder in there, mate. Could you grab it for us? I got it out earlier, but somebody, whoever cleaned up, great job, brilliant. Honestly, thanks for tidying that up. Obviously, I didn't let you know. I think it's in the, I think it might be in the store cupboard, first one on the right, mate, I think. That's a TARDIS in there. When you go in there, right, there's like 4 acres of storage space in there when you go in there. Brilliant. Ephesians chapter 2. What you are now is in direct contrast to what you used to be. You are completely opposite to what you used to be. Once you were spiritually dead because your lives were full of sin. This is very descriptive, isn't it? And disobedient to God's word. So you used to be completely opposite to how you are now. You're not 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You're not half in, half out. You're not half saved or half not saved. What the Bible says is you are a completely different person than you were before you came to know Jesus. Absolutely. Thanks, mate. Where do you want it? I don't know. up here, thanks, mate. Yeah. Cheers. Actually, you could help me in a minute, Chad, but not yet. Not yet. Applause for it. No, go and take a seat. You can't be up here all morning, mate. Great. So you used to be one thing, now you're something else. That is how you used to live when you lived according to the world's standards, because you were subject to God's enemy. So that God's enemy, who's at the devil, had a hold on your life and you were a subject of his. You belong to that negative kingdom of darkness and you were controlled by the spirit who still works out in the world now. Or as it says here, in the disobedient, those who don't know God yet. All of us at one time shared in that ungodly lifestyle, longing to satisfy our sinful desires or our flesh. We all sought to gratify our fleshly desires and sin filled much of our thinking. Just like everybody else, we were subjects of God's anger because of our sinful state or our sinful disposition. Despite all of this, because of his great love, because of God's great love for us, he is so rich in mercy that he actually brought us alive with Christ. Notice it says with Christ, even when we were spiritually dead because of our sins. What does this say? It says your salvation is a gift that God gives that he had already worked out 2,000 years ago on the cross before you and I were even around, that he did something for us so that his life, his salvation could be a gift to us. So it's not based on anything that you or I have done. He did it before we were even here, before we were around. So it's not based on your performance or mine. It's based on God's nature, God's character, who he is and what he has done. So while we were spiritually dead, when we didn't know God, separate from him, he died for us. But it then says, God, who is so rich in mercy, brought us alive with Christ. And we're going to illustrate this in a few moments. What a wonderful work of his grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin out of the hands of the evil one that we once served. So you're no longer part of any darkness any longer. You've been saved out of darkness. You are full of light. You know, you've got the light of life on the inside of you. If you have the light of life on the inside of you, you shine all of the time, no matter where you are. In this room, as far as God's concerned, this room is filled with light. Because He is light and He is in you and I, and therefore this place is full of light. When you're driving along in your car is full of light. When you're in your home is full of light. When you are lying in bed asleep under your nice cozy duvet, you are full of light. You know what it's like when you put a big torch on underneath your duvet and the whole thing shines up and you're on the other side of it and you can see light coming out of a duvet, yeah? That's what it's like. You are full of light. So that even when you're in bed asleep, this light of life, because Jesus doesn't go to sleep. His life in you never goes to sleep. And so His light is at work in you all the time. You shine, it says in the Bible. You shine like stars. That light pierces every darkness. And the devil hates that light. William Booth, when he was alive, a couple of hundred years ago, he was the founder of the Salvation Army. And when he was first kind of reaching out into originally different parts of the country, but he moved to London and began to reach out into the streets of London, going out every night, preaching the gospel, often coming home sometime in the night, having quite often being beaten up, or it says in the book that I read, even bloodied all over his clothes. Because people had attacked him, beaten him up and everything. Sometimes he didn't come home till sunrise because he'd been out preaching the gospel all night to the people out on the streets, in the drinking houses and the homeless and the prostitutes and all the people that were out in that time. And during that kind of season, he was on a journey somewhere and in a carriage, and he was looking out the window. And as he was looking out the window, he was watching the people passing by, and he could see people. And as he was watching the couple of stories I've read of how this has been written was he had a vision. And while he was in this vision, or what this vision was this really, really dark scene, sea of darkness and incredible stormy scene. And the sky was just black with clouds and lightning, thunder, heavy rain, the sea rising and falling. And every so often there was a slight shaft of light that kind of seemed to come through. But basically it was a very stormy, dangerous scene. And he said as he watched this scene, he saw that it wasn't just a stormy sea, but there were people in this sea. And people were rising and falling with the waves and then rising and falling with the waves. And he said, as he watched, he noticed that there were people from all different backgrounds, all different kinds of experiences, all different age groups, and people that were victims of how they'd been treated, other people that were perpetrators of things, and other people that were using others, and everything from the poor and the needy through to the rich. And he just kind of saw this scene and saw, as he put it, this vast array of humanity that were in this storm, just rising and falling and rising and falling. And as he watched this scene, he began to hear cries and shouts coming from this storm, from the people, crying out for help, crying out to be saved, crying out to be taken out of this environment. And he realized that there's no way out. There's no answer. There's no rescue. All he could see around was this storm, and there was no hope. And as he watched and he heard and he began to feel the pain and the cries coming from this scene, he said, out of the water, this rock, initially what seemed to be quite small, began to rise out of this stormy water and began to rise and rise. And the more it rose, the bigger it looked and the greater it became in this vision and in this scene. And as he watched this rock He saw that some managed to hold on and clamber on and just about climb onto this rock. But many were too far away. The storm was too much. The current was too much. And they didn't have the energy. They couldn't reach this rock, which was a place of safety. And as he continued to watch this scene and he looked at this rock, he realized that they weren't just one or two that were managed to come out of the sea of darkness onto this rock, but he realized that there were many, many people already on this rock of salvation. And as he looked at this scene, he realized many had been there for a long time. And he thought, where have they been? What are they doing? There's some that are clambering on, but yet there seem to be many that are just here. And as he watched this scene, he says, as he wrote this thing, that some were just busy with church. And they got so used to their church schedule and church life and their church environment that they became consumed with what they were doing in church and had forgotten where they'd come from. Another group of people, just lots of people, were very much geared around their family, and their whole life was just around their family, and they had no time for anything else except their family, and they'd forgotten again where they'd come from. Another group of people and others around were into their businesses and their various things like that, and they got so consumed by their business, even though once they'd been in the sea of darkness, they'd been saved out of it and onto this rock that he recognized now was the rock of salvation. And as he watched these guys, and people were so consumed with their business and trying to make money and trying to do the next thing, get the next deal, that they'd forgotten where they'd come from. Then there were others just so much into their sports and hobbies, their interests and all of that. Again, so consumed with all of that, they got used to being in church and part of church, but so used to their hobbies and interests that again, they'd forgotten where they came from. But again, as he watched, there were a few. Even though they were part of church, even though they had jobs, even though they had families, even though they had some sports and interests, even though they had a life and everything, they hadn't forgotten where they'd come from. And they realized in all the stuff that I have as a person, there are others that are still where I used to be. And I've been rescued out of that onto this rock of salvation. But I haven't been saved onto this thing just to get by, just to make do, just to be consumed with a new life that might be so much better than the one before, but I don't just want to get consumed with a new life on this rock and forget where I've come from. And he said that there were one or two on the edge of this rock around as he watched this thing, even though the storm and the wind and the waves were pretty violent, he said, and they were smashing over some of the edge of this rock. And he said that there were a few that were trying to reach down, and there were a few throwing a rope or trying to make ladders and put some ladders down and just trying to reach some and bring some onto this rock where they were. Now, most of us in this room, we live on this rock of salvation. We've been saved from the sea of darkness. He said he could feel and hear the pain that people were in, sense of lostness, no hope. God wants us to have more than an existence on this rock of salvation. What does it say in verse 6? We were spiritually dead. This is just verses 4 and 5. We were spiritually dead. We were in this sea of darkness. We were totally captivated by sin. There was no way out. We could not do it in our own strength and effort. But because of his wonderful grace, he saved us out of death and darkness, out of sin, and out of the hands of the enemy, and brought us into life, brought us into freedom. And what does he say in verse 6? God hasn't just saved us to have an existence on this rock. It says now he has actually raised us up with Christ. Chad, if you can come back, mate, it'd be great. He says now he has actually raised us up with Christ and has seated us with him in heavenly places. If you want to just climb the ladder, mate, and sit at the top, that'd be great. Health and safety, it's all right. It is locked. But I mate. Yeah. Great. You right there? You'll be all right. Chad's not just existed on this rock or just hanging on the edge with his feet still there and his hands up here. He says, now he's actually raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places because he has placed us in Christ Jesus. He has done this so that in the future, which is now, we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. And this grace has been shown to us because of his kindness towards us, expressed in all Christ has done for us. So when Jesus transforms somebody's life, he doesn't just say, have a new existence, and just kind of be, he says, no, what I'm doing, I'm bringing you onto the rock of salvation. I'm saving you out of darkness, out of the power of sin, out of the enemy's hands. I'm saving you out of pain and shame and guilt and despair and hopelessness. I'm saving you from yourself and everything. I'm bringing you not only onto the rock, but I'm raising you up to be seated with me at the right hand of the Father. This is your position in Christ. This is how you're seated. This is how you rule and reign with me. This is a place of victory. This is a place of overcoming. This is a place of hope, a place of destiny, a place of knowing that the future is sorted because the future's in God's hands. So we can live fully in today, knowing that God has sorted tomorrow. And this victorious, overcoming life now is who we are and what we have. It's not a life just of existence on the rock, being saved out of that. Well, I'm okay now, and now I'll just do my own thing up here. No, it's God. I'm a totally new creation, totally new person. I'm not who I was. I'm a totally different person in contrast to what I used to be. And now I'm seated with you as a new creation in Christ. All of the old has gone. The power of every negative thing that affected and influenced your life has been broken, has been dealt with. It does not have a hold on you anymore. When you came from darkness to light, everything was broken at that point when you were rescued out of it. And at that moment, you were raised to this place of victory. And you might say, well, I didn't know the word very much. That doesn't matter because this is who you are. It's all to do with what God has done. Well, I didn't do anything to deserve it. No, it's totally down to God's wonderful grace, giving us everything, even though we didn't deserve anything. Amazing. Then it says, you see, it's only because of his grace that you have been saved. All you did, all we did was to put our faith in him, in his willingness to be merciful and gracious towards you. God wants to deal with every sense of any performance that you and I have in our lives today. He wants to burst that bubble, sort that out. If you feel I've got to perform for God, or I feel guilty about if I don't do this or that or the other, the enemy's the one who causes guilt. We want to live fully in his wonderful mercy and his incredible grace. But there is a coming. So your salvation is not anything you could possibly have worked out for yourselves. It is completely God's gift to you. You can never boast that you achieved acceptance by God through the works that you have performed. What we do does not get us any more saved than we already are. So it doesn't matter how many people you lead to Christ, how many people you might heal, how many times you obey what God says, right? That does not get you saved. You are saved because of who he is and what he has done. The truth that we have literally put our faith in him, that is what has saved us out of darkness and brought us into life. But what God wants to do, he wants to put that salvation to work. So we don't work for salvation, because that's a gift. But we put our salvation to work. How do we know that? Verse 10, the truth is that we are the work of God's own hands. How many of you know God does not make a mistake? You and I are the work of God's hands. How awesome is that? If God's going to make something, do you think he's going to do a good job? Do you think there'll be a blemish in anything that God makes? Does he say, well, look, what I'll do is I'll bring you out of darkness onto the rock and I will raise you up, but there's a few blemishes. I can't do it all in one go because you're just too much. So it's going to take me a bit longer to do it, you know, and I'm not all that powerful, so I can't do it in one go. So I'm going to have to put some more Duracells in me and to make sure that I can do this over a period of time with you. The Bible doesn't say that. It says that you were one thing and now you're something else. You were an old thing and now you're totally new. You were in darkness, now you are in light. You were guilty before God, now you are not guilty. You were in pain and shame, now you've been freed from that into forgiveness and wholeness and freedom in Christ. What we're doing in our lives is we're then living out what he has already done. And getting a handle on every day. Wow, God, that's an even greater understanding. I can live more fully in what you have already given me. I can live more fully in who I am already. So he says, the truth is that you are the work of God's own hands. He's a master craftsman, isn't he? So what he's done in you is complete. It's whole. He has done a complete work in your life. Some of you are sitting there going, yeah, but I don't feel like it. Or I don't exactly live like it, or I'm still trying to live like it. But that doesn't change what he has done. He has forgiven you. He has made you whole. Yeah, if you do something wrong, you still need to ask forgiveness, but he cleans you up. But we need to understand this is who we are, and this is the place that we live from. This place of victory, this place of overcoming. Then it says, now we live in Christ Jesus, we are able to do the good works that are the evidence of our salvation. Yep. Right, so the Bible talks about evidence that comes from something that we live in. Right. It is good to know that these are the very works that God has planned and prepared for us to accomplish. Right. So God has prepared there to be some evidence in relation to what he has done for us. Wow. What is evidence of being saved? Two-way conversation. Evidence of being saved. Anybody? Fruit. Yeah, but what does that look like? What does fruit mean? How you live, yeah, but... love, joy, peace, patience. Anything else? Being a witness. Of what? Of Jesus, okay? Okay, there's loads of stuff. Evidence. Evidence is the nature and the character of Christ working in us, right? His nature, his character, all that is. It's being a witness. It's telling other people about Jesus. It's seeing not just our own lives healed and whole, but other people's lives healed and whole and healthy. As William Booth watched this scene and this rock and all the people on it and a few people trying to rescue people, he said then he heard this another voice amongst all the voices. But he said this voice was different. There was the sound of it that was different. And this voice was saying, come and help me. Come and help me. Come and join me. Come and help me. Come and help me. But it wasn't a cry of I cannot get out of here, a cry of I'm lost, I'm hopeless, help, you know. It was a cry from somebody who was out there somewhere in this sea of lost darkness, and it was like, you need to come and help me, you need to come and help me. It was like the person was appealing to everybody up here to say, come out here and help me. And as he watched this scene, he realized, and as he looked, he realized it was Jesus. Out in this dark storm, out in this dark scene. And because he was looking for Jesus up here, but suddenly he realized Jesus is out there. And as this voice came, he realized that people on this rock began to hear this same voice, and they heard it. And some that were so into their thing, whatever it might have been that we described earlier, began to hear this call, hear this cry. And they began to hear, hang on a minute. And as they responded to this call, their eyes were open, their hearts were open. They realized that they'd forgotten where they'd come from. And there were more out there, far more out there than there were up here. And they realized, man, I've forgotten. I've got so consumed with this, that, and the other. I've forgotten where I've come from, what God has done. And as people responded, they began to help the others. They began to get more ropes and more ladders. And some even got boats and put boats into the middle of this stormy scene, this environment that didn't look particularly safe to go into. But yet some got into the boats and began to row out to rescue people that they couldn't reach with ropes and ladders. And they began to risk their lives and go into the storm. And they were bringing people on these boats and bringing them in. Then they go back out again. Some even ran and dived in, or dove, as they say in America. Recently, but they dived into this scene with everything that they could, and even one by one just rescue people, got them onto a boat or dragged them to the rock. And how come they didn't get consumed by what was going on there? Because they were going from here. They were going with this life of victory. They were going with this life of overcoming. They were going with this authority. They were going in His name. They were going in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were going, you know, in the name of Jesus. They were going with this victorious, overcoming life. They weren't just going from a place of, well, I'm just about on it. I'm just about managing. They were saying, no, this is who I am. I don't have to just manage in life. I can be victorious because of what He has done and what He's put in me. So I can take this victorious life. And it's like God saying, take who I am. If you are seated with me, Jesus says, at the right hand of the Father, it's not just a position up here. If you're seated with me, then you're out where I am. Now, we all live and work in the world in different ways. And so there isn't a separation in what we see and what we know in terms of, well, there's the world over there, and then somewhere there's the rock, and somewhere there's this. We live and work with people who don't know Jesus. We live and work in the world. But we're a people not of this world any longer, because He has saved us from being of this world. And what He does now, He says, right now I'm sending you back into, but you're taking my life, my light, my victory. But there are people that you know that don't know me. People all around that need to be rescued out of. God's been speaking to us about the 25-mile radius. It's not about planting things and starting stuff. It's about God's kingdom advancing. It's about God's kingdom rule and reign. It's about people being set free. It's about people being delivered. It's about people coming to know Jesus, individuals, couples and families and households and all of that. It's people out there. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. As he watched this scene, the people on here realized, hang on a minute, we're already living like we're in eternity. But we've forgotten that we've got a job to do while we're still on earth. Now, some still just continued on in what they were doing. But he said many began to realize there's a job to do. Yes, we're saved, but there is the evidence of our salvation that has got to be seen. And many began to be rescued. Thanks, Chad. Cheers, mate. Let's stand together because we've got a few minutes left. And we're going to pray together. And I just believe we just need to take authority in our own lives a little bit over just where there might have been any performance kind of mentality that I'm trying to please God, I'm trying to perform for God. Or some of us just need to find that place of rest in God, that you've been saved by Him. It's a free gift of salvation. There might be some of you here that don't know Jesus this morning. And you think, well, I've done so much stuff. I'm not good enough for God. I could never reach God. And none of us are good enough. None of us could ever reach God. It's only God's amazing grace that any of us can come into relationship with Him. You know, Christianity is the only faith on the planet. The only, if you want to call it a religion, I don't. But it's the only faith where God has actually come to do something for man, because man cannot reach God. Every other religion says you have to do something in order to for God then to accept you, to be good enough. Every other faith says that, that you have to do something to go to reach God. Whereas God knows the real, the I am, as it's described in the Bible. He's the only true living God. He knows we can't reach God. So he came down himself in Jesus and did something so that we could then know God. So let's just pray for a few moments. If you know, well, my life's a bit performance orientated, or I feel under pressure, I feel guilty if this, that and the other. God doesn't want you to live under guilt. God doesn't want you to live under that kind of stuff. He doesn't want you to be performance orientated. This morning is not about now performance. Well, this is your position. Now you've got to perform for God and reach the world. God's doing something in our hearts so that in our lives we make ourselves available. Maybe there's some shifting in some of our time, in some of our focus, in some of our availability that needs to take place. As we move into this new season as a church, as we really respond to what God is saying, the vision he gave us 20 years ago about one church, many locations, and now it's time to get on with it and to move out, you know, in that way. So I just want you to, where you are, just take authority right now over every negative thinking, over every way in which the enemy yaps on your shoulder to say you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, you're not good enough for God. You can't reach him. He's not pleased with you. He's this, that, and the other. Just take authority over all those lies right now and just say, I'm not living under those lies. I'm not living under that condemnation. I'm not going to live under that negativity. I've been saved by God's grace. I've been saved by his amazing, unfailing love. He's brought me into relationship with him. I'm on this rock of salvation. He's raised me up as a child, as a son of God. I'm living in this place of victory and overcoming right now. That's who I am in Christ. I'm not defeated. I'm not a failure. Some of you need to speak that out this morning. I am not a failure. I am not defeated. Jesus has never been defeated. He knows no defeat. He is the life that is on the inside of you. Therefore, you are not a person of defeat any longer. You are a person of victory, a person who is an overcoming person. Father, I thank you and I praise your name right now for every person who knows you in this room being an overcoming person. Victorious person, that there's not a person in here that knows you that is a victim any longer, that you have broken those things off of people's lives right now. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There might be people here this morning that you don't know Jesus, and you're like, well, from what you've described, I'm in this sea of darkness. The amazing thing is, Jesus isn't off somewhere over there. He's right where you are. He knows you by name. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything that's going on inside your life. He's right where you are now. But he wants to, I'll use this word, rescue you out of darkness and bring you onto this rock of salvation. He wants you to have a relationship where you know him. You're seated with Christ. You're an heir with Christ. That might sound, what on earth does that mean? What it means, you become one with God. You have a relationship with him. You become a child of God. He becomes your father. He becomes your friend. Jesus becomes your brother. That's like, what on earth is that all about? But it might be one or two of you, a few of you here this morning. Your heart is pumping. You're like, wow. If God is like that, I want to know him. Let's just take a few moments, if that's you, and just talk to God for a moment. God, I realize I'm in darkness. I want to be in light. I want to be on that rock he's been talking about. I want to be free from all the stuff that's going on in me. Just tell God that. Now ask him to forgive you. God, forgive me for living my way, doing my thing. God, I need you in my life. I ask you to come and do an exchange of my life for your life. I want to take that first step today. Say, Jesus, I want to take that step towards you as you take a step towards me so that I can begin this relationship with you. I want to be like that first line that that guy at the front read at the beginning. What I am now is in total contrast to what I used to be. I want to be a new person in you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Now, if any of you have prayed that this morning, or your heart has been beating, or you're just like, wow, God, I want to respond to you. You want to find out more. You want to know more. Then myself, one or two other guys will be just at the front here. PJD, who was up here speaking earlier, we'll be at the front here. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, answer any questions that you've got. You want to find out more. Thank you, Jesus. That's my doorbell saying, time's up, sunshine. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for every man, every woman, every person here this morning. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you grace us to live in the full truth of who we are in Christ. But also I thank you that this week, today, tomorrow, all this week, that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see people around us, the ones you want us to reach, the ones you want us to talk to, the ones that you want to do something in their lives. And you're saying, I'm in you so that I can reach and touch that person's life, because I'm up with the Father now, and I've given you my spirit to enable you to do the things that I would do on earth. But because I'm not there now in the physical form, you're there instead of me. So in the same way, be available to look, to see, to respond, to touch, to talk, to do whatever I would do if I was there. That's why we're here. We're kind of little Jesuses. That's what Christian means, isn't it? A little Jesus. But it's a mighty God that is in us. So, Father, I thank you for a release into today, into this week. We thank you for this new time, this new season. We praise your wonderful, awesome, holy, mighty name. Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, your mighty name. Amen. Amen. You are blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.